Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church in Wortley Village in London. My name is Keith Nethery. I'm the rector of the parish, and I'll be leading the service of the word tonight. Our music director, Stephen Hollowitz, is providing the instrumental music, and vocal soloists Paul Grambo and Victoria Piovison. As always, on the controls, making us all sound good, John Gardy. Take a moment now. Put aside the week. The stresses and strains of life. Open your heart, your spirit. Together, let us worship. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered by your Holy Spirit into one, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "What authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man has two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In my reflection on Friday, I admitted that I have read this section of Matthew's Gospel many, many times in my life, and for some reason had never clicked into the fact that this was the first of five questions to the authority of Jesus by those in power trying to thwart him. This story comes right on the heels of the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. You know, the one where all the people were buying and selling things and Jesus went in and chased everybody away. So he really has taken over the temple. And this is where these five questions towards his authority come. Only Matthew chooses to put this short parable in. And then there are a couple of more parables. Matthew has all of this. If you read Mark and Luke, they change things a little bit. Neither of them have this little parable. Luke takes a different timeline on everything. And then they get into the various questions of authority, and Luke still changes the timeline. Does that mean something? Well, let me go here first. What does it say that none of the other Gospels included this story of the man with two sons? So I think first we have to go back and try and figure out what this parable is all about in the time of Jesus. So when Matthew chose to put it in here, what did he mean? We see that Jesus doesn't like the answer of the elders and the chief priests. We might side with that understanding. We might think that the son who said no, he wouldn't go do that work, and then did go, was the right answer. Jesus seems to say no, suggesting that the tax collectors and the prostitutes would go into heaven before those who took up that interpretation. One interpretation that seems to bear some hope is authenticity, that neither of the sons were being authentic, and that the chief priests and the elders and all the others who in authority were not being authentic either, because they were trying to trap Jesus, not because they cared much about anybody else, but they cared about their own power. That has a possibility. I've spoken many times about the gospel parallels, lining up all of the stories together, and the author of the gospel parallels that I have made a really interesting thing in that. Because Luke doesn't have this parable, he lined it up with the parable of the prodigal son, which I just don't understand. Let me suggest my own thought, which along with $2 will get you a cup of coffee at any Tim Hortons in London. I think there's something missing here. And because we don't have that missing element, we really can't understand. Matthew had to have a reason to put this parable in that nobody else thought was worth putting in. And we don't know what that specific reason was. And because we don't know what that specific reason was, we are left somewhat in the dark. But that's a good thing. Why? Because it challenges us and causes us to think outside the box. It's far too easy to just say, oh, well, you know, we've read that parable in church all our lives. It must mean something good because Jesus said it, so we'll just live with it. I think we err when we expect church, faith, theology to be about answers. I've come to believe it's about the questions. And when you follow the questions, you find more questions, but those questions, I think, will bring you closer to God. So in asking the question, why did Matthew add this? We can get some interesting thoughts about church in today's world. For example, Matthew would just assume that everyone would know what he was talking about. Whatever the secret message was, whatever this was that caused Matthew, written probably for a Jewish audience, whatever caused Matthew to put this parable in, it would have been quite evident to the first readers. It's not so evident today. We can suggest that some of the long-held interpretations in the church came at a time that they were most appropriate to what the people were experiencing, learning, what those, like the chief priests and elders, were trying to control. And as soon as we just start to accept those, and as soon as we start saying, this is the bedrock, this is where all we need to know is, there's nothing beyond this, as soon as we get to that point, then God can no longer reveal God's self to us. I've said before, I will say again, I think God has been revealing God's self to human beings since the first day in the garden. And I don't think God will ever stop revealing God's self to us. That's why I look for the questions, because the questions are the thing that help me to broaden my perspective, to change my mind, to grow in the way I understand God and faith. On Saturday, the Right Reverend Todd Townsend, Bishop of Huron, chaired his first synod in that position. What a time to do something for the first time in the middle of COVID-19. But what I'm going to suggest that in his four-part charge to Synod, Bishop Todd asked us to look at the questions. Bishop Todd suggested that we look away from what we have always known and look to the cutting edge, looking to what's new, looking to what's just, looking to what is diverse. That's where God is today. God is teaching us new things, as God has always taught us new things. We in the Diocese of Huron have perhaps become just a little too comfortable. Bishop Todd asked us to look outside the box of what we do, our comfortable pew, as it were, expecting the same old, coming to church always expecting to hear the same stories and the same interpretation of the parables and never listening for something else, expecting the Gospels to say the same thing, expecting the epistles to all line up, expecting the Old Testament to have those wonderful interpretations of the children's stories that we read when we were young. The world's not like that right now. We have a worldwide pandemic. We have multiple social justice issues. We have people who would take power and control and lord it over. We have people who want to take all the resources and hold them for themselves. What's our parable for today? Where do we find the meaning of the gospel in light of injustice, no diversity, nothing new, no love. The parable points us the other way. All parables point us the other way. They point us to growing edges. They point us to inclusion. They point us to the great commandment, love, which is one of the things before long the chief priests and the elders are going to challenge Jesus' authority about. What is the great command? Jesus was very clear. To love God and love your neighbor. But what Jesus wanted the people in this story that Matthew relates to us, what Jesus wanted people to see and hear was the inauthenticity of the leaders and the rulers. He wanted the people to see that there was a call to justice, a call to equality, a call to love, to making people matter, that was not represented by their leaders. That's what our bishop did for us on Saturday. He called us to authenticity about the love of God, about our need for justice, our need to take care of this planet of ours, our need to love one another. We can't do that with the same old, same old. We can only do that by breaking the mold as Jesus did. Jesus is still the one we follow. That will never change. But Jesus is calling us to new things, new ways, new excitement, new ways to reach people who have never heard the gospel before. Do we have the stories that will attract them? Do we have the courage to share those stories, to give them an interpretation that will give them hope and love and perspective and joy and justice and peace? Don't look now, but that's what we've always been called to do. Amen.
I'm not afraid to die.
Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. God has called us, and we gather in his name. Let us bring to God our prayers which come from our love and concern. Lord, we thank you for all the help and encouragement we are given from the church, from its worship, teaching, and fellowship, from its faithfulness and prayer. Bless and further all loving ministry in word and sacrament throughout the worldwide church. Inspire us all to want your will and to do it. Lord God, we pray for the world where the misery and tragedy of wrong choices grieves your heart of love. Let there be wisdom and compassion in all negotiations and decisions. Let there be humility and leadership and responsibility for right action shared by all. Lord, we bring to you the joys and worries, the frustrations and accomplishment of this week, in the lives we have met and shared. As we pray, let your light shine into all these lives for fresh directing and lasting good. Lord, we bring to you those we know who are ill or suffering in any way. Give them healing, restore them in body, mind, and spirit, and provide them with your indwelling. Lord, we remember in your presence all those who have died, particularly those whom we have known and loved, Margaret and Ron. Thank you for them. Thank you for your promise of eternal life and peace. May we comfort one another through your love. Lord, we thank you for your offer of life in all its abundance. May we accept it with joy every day of our life. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day, remain with you forevermore. Amen. Thank you. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.